Hi, good morning, and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We're so glad you're here. Hi, good morning again, and welcome to West End United Methodist Church. I have a few announcements for you this morning. The first is at 5 p.m. in this sanctuary, later today, we have a Taze worship service. And so I hope that you'll come and join us for a time of prayer and healing and let those songs wash over you. Also, in Reed Hall, we have Room in the Inn sign-ups. So if you haven't signed up to be with our community as we support those in our communities without a home during the winter months, I hope that you'll visit Reed Hall and the sign-ups and sign up there to join them. West End United Methodist Church has partnered with an organization called ODIM. It stands for the Organization for the Development of the Indigenous Maya, and that is in Guatemala. We've sent a lot of mission teams down there. It's in a lovely area of the world. And next week, Joanne Dwyer, who is the founder, and Reverend Jeff Hassel, he is the executive director of that program, they'll be with us, helping to lead worship with us. But also during the Sunday school hour, they'll be in the theater talking a little bit more about their ministries and their programs. So I hope that you will feel called to join us for that time. There will be an all-church lunch after the 11 o'clock. We had some new members this morning. We'll have some new members next week. And so we will celebrate them, get to know them, and celebrate our community with an all-church lunch next week. So register for that. And also, you are invited to join the Influencer gatherings for the Legacy Campaign. These are going to happen on September the 29th, the week of that. Every single night at different people's homes, there will be gatherings about the Legacy Campaign and how you can be an influencer in this. And so if you'll check out the website and learn more about the times and the locations of these events. God embraces all that we are. May you feel the arms of God this morning.
Like gather to worship our ever-present and living God.
The God of Abraham, Sarah, and all who follow.
The God of all creation who blesses and loves even the smallest child.
We are God's people, called to love and serve others.
God's love flows toward us in abundance, but we often remain oblivious to this life-giving channel of grace. Let us confess together how we far too often fail to remain open to God's gifts. Loving God, your abundant love for us should shape and form us into loving people, fully able to love and serve others. Yet we seem to spend far too much time wondering and doubting ourselves. Forgive us and heal our brokenness. Forgive us for how easily we refuse to remain open to your love in our lives. Forgive us that our attention so quickly fades long before you can fill our hearts. Forgive us as we shut down before your grace can flow through us into the world. Empower us to slow down and remain present with you so that we might begin to better love you, ourselves, and our neighbors. Our God of creation is slow to anger and abounds in steadfast love. Believe this and open your hearts and be forgiven. Amen.
Oh,
brothers and sisters in Christ. Through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered without price. And so I ask you, Stuart and Laura, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness? Do you reject the evil powers of this world and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever form it presents themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly and lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and commitment to Christ? Answer by saying, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include these persons before you in your care?
With God's help,
we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround them with the community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the ways that lead to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by the Holy Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. We ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water from both the Jordan and Cumberland rivers and these persons before us who receive it, to wash away their sin, to clothe them with righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child?
Laura Thomas.
Laura Thomas. Laura, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah.
Let us pray.
Let us pray. Lord Clay, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of the water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. What name is given this child?
And
James. And James, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Pray with me. And James, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born of water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple all your days. Let's go to the center.
Good job.
Ready. Will the congregation please stand and face these persons? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sisters in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Laura Thomas and Ann James to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that art has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the Church, our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified.
Jesus Christ. Please join with me in our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from Paul's epistle to the Philippians. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God. Jesus, the Lord.
it. Come on down if you're a youngster, or young at heart even. Good morning. I want to tell you a story about my friend Maggie. Her real name is Magnolia, but we call her Maggie, and she is my friend's dog. And Maggie actually didn't always belong to my friends. My friends are named Megan and Eric, and they have Maggie. But before she belonged to Maggie and Eric, she was found at the school across the street at Vanderbilt in the Divinity School elevator. She was abandoned there, and she was sort of lost and alone. And one of the deans, which is just a fancy name for a teacher, one of the deans found her, and she took her home, and she called up my friend Megan and Eric and said, "Do you think that you might be able to care for this dog, Maggie?" And Maggie is one of the sweetest dogs that ever lived, probably like your dog, very, very sweet. And so sometimes when we might feel a little bit like Maggie, a little bit lost or alone, maybe we don't have any friends, or maybe we feel like we don't have any friends, and sometimes we're called to reach out in love, and that's what God does for us. We are not alone. And sometimes we are called to be friends to each other, just like my friends were to Maggie. And then sometimes even Maggie is my friend, and she can be my friend. So we all know that God is our friend, and because God is our friend, we can be friends with each other, just like my friend Maggie. Will you guys pray with me? Lord, thank you for this day, for this time to be together. Thank you that you love us more than we know, so that we might love one another and be friends with each other. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming down. See you later. This past month during Current on Wednesday nights, we've been discovering our sense of place. How we're rooted in places and how we can cultivate those places. And we began our conversation with the question of what is the most sacred space to you? What is your spiritual home? And I didn't have to think very long to immediately realize that Warren Willis United Methodist Camp is one of the most sacred spaces I've ever been in. It was sacred to me because I went there as a camper all of my childhood. And then when I was old enough, I became a camp counselor there. It was the summer after my college years was my first summer, and then I kept being a counselor because it was so much fun. But my first summer, I was a little scared and really excited. And on the third week of camp, I was a cabin greeter. And a cabin greeter is someone who is in the cabin and welcomes all the campers that are coming and helps them find their bunk and shakes the hand of the parents and says, "Don't worry, your kid is safe with me." And you find out their name, and you get to know your cabin. Well, it was that week, and all of a sudden, in walks Jennifer. I think she was dropped off by her youth director. And Jennifer came in, already demanding things, with a ton of questions. And she wouldn't stop talking. And I was like, okay, what do I do? And I was like, oh, sure, yes, you can have the bunk above mine. I would love that. And so she just kept talking and talking. And eventually, we went to supper, and later I get to my small group hut, and I look at the roster, and Jennifer's name is there. What a coincidence! Who knew? And so I think to myself, wow, this is going to be an interesting week. So throughout the week, I had more and more conversations with Jennifer, and I got to hear a little bit about her profound sense of loneliness at home and some of the struggles she went through. And on Thursday night, I was sitting next to her at worship, and I thought, I wonder if Jennifer's going to have any friends when she goes home. And I thought to myself, I have an idea. What if I could become a seventh grade girl again? And I could be her friend, and then she would have other friends, and we could all be friends together. And wait, that's a terrible idea. I'm a college student. Why would I give up my freedoms and become a seventh grader again? And even if I did, why would I decide to hang out with Jennifer? And then, what if Jennifer didn't want to be my friend? And so it's with this story that I approach Paul's letter to the church of Philippi, the Philippians church. See, last week, Michael talked a little bit about the church in Rome, and he's talking about all of the sort of a little bit of their conflicts with one another. He said they were struggling over food issues, what's the righteous way to live, how do we begin to live a new life as a church. They also struggled with issues of circumcision and what you do, and there was just a lot of division about what was the right way to live. And so Paul's letter to the Romans is really sort of giving some teachings about these issues. Well, in the letter to the Philippian church, there really isn't a specific issue. He's just giving encouragement and love. And the scripture passage this morning begins with, if you have any encouragement from being with Christ, any fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And this if word really popped out to me, and I was like, is he confused? Does he wonder if the church knows about Christ? So I turned to the commentaries, and all of the commentaries say this if is less a confusion and more of an assumption, more along the lines of, if you want dessert, then you'll eat your dinner. If you want an A on your test, then you'll study. If you're my friend, then you'll help me move my stuff. Of course you want dessert. Of course you want an A, and of course you're my friend. This if is an encouragement. He's saying, if you have any encouragement in Christ. And he said, and you do. You do have encouragement. So basically with the Philippians, he's preaching to the choir, if you will, giving them encouragement. And like anybody who preaches to choirs, we know the best thing to do is to give a hymn. And so Paul here, in the second part of the verse, gives a hymn. A first century liturgy. And if you look at it, it's written out like a poem when you turn that into that place in your Bible. And he begins with Christ in his equality with God emptied himself and took on the form of a human. As I've been thinking about all of the digital media and different things in our daily lives as we go about, I've been thinking a lot about what it means to be human. To be real, to have a body. What does that mean? And there's so many vibrant things about being a human being. The diversity, the lushness, the love, the forgiveness. There's so much beauty in being a human being. But there's also this part of being a human that is really challenging. This sort of pain. And the pain that we kind of ensue on other people sometimes. And I think part of where that pain comes from is our shame, what I might call a jerk brain, something in the back of your mind that says, you'll never be good enough. They're going to compare you to everyone else. You'll never be successful. All of these things that kind of somehow, and growing up, we kind of bump up against and we develop. And so I wanted to learn a little bit more about shame, and so I went to Modern Popular's therapist on shame these days. She's the expert, Brené Brown. And she has a few TED Talks. You might have watched them. She talks a lot about shame in the second one. And she says, if you put shame in a petri dish and you feed it silence, isolation, and secrecy, it'll only grow and fester. So if we ignore our shame, we push it down, we refuse to talk about it, we isolate ourselves from one another, it'll only grow. But if you take a petri dish and you put shame in it and you feed it empathy, it can't survive. So she says the greatest thing you can say to someone who's suffering is, me too. Me too. I get it. I understand what that's like. And so Paul, in this scripture passage, when he's talking about having the attitude of Christ, the mindset of Christ, he's talking about having an attitude that Christ became a human being, was enclosed in the womb of a woman, became a human, embraced all that we are, and looks us in the eyes and says, me too. Me too, I get it. I get what that's like. And so when we think about Christ and taking on the attitude of Christ, and we know that we are loved and accepted, then we can say me too to one another. You see, I thought that I was the counselor to Jennifer. But really, she was my counselor. in many ways because she was one of the first counselors in my adult life to teach me to stay with myself, to stay with my insecurities, to stay with some of my shame, not to run away and be like, whoa, too much, but to stay with her and to listen to her. And she taught me about myself because, no, I didn't become a seventh grade girl again. But in some ways I did because she allowed me to think about what it might be like to be her in her situation. And in doing so, I was able to say me too. And she said me too back to me. And so I hope that you will find your very own counselor and you can turn to the greatest counselor of them all. Different stories about how Jesus operated with the people that he went with. Maybe you turn and figure out what he said to the Samaritan woman at the well. Or maybe what he did with the Gerasene demoniac. I don't know if anyone wants to hang out with him. Or maybe you look at the way he treated and worked with the disciples. But I'm sure if you turn to one of your favorite stories, you'll be able to see this all embrace of me too that Christ has for us as he understands what it's like to be a human being. And maybe after that embrace, you're able to sit with somebody else in their moments of suffering or shame. And maybe you don't fully understand. Maybe that me too isn't quite there in the sense, I don't really know what that's like. But it doesn't matter. The me too extends to just being with them, not running away and not trying to fix them, but just sitting with them and saying, wow, I get that. This must be hard. Sorry. Therefore, if you have any encouragement in Christ, take on the mindset, the attitude of Christ, and say, me too. Each week, we say me too to one another as we recite our creeds. The creed we'll recite today begins with, we are not alone. This is another version of me too. Stand and say with me the United Church of Canada, found on page 883 in your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. We are grateful that God has called us together for worship today. If you're a guest, please join us for a time of fellowship out here in Reed Hall, out these doors to your right. You're welcome to pick up information on the life and going-ons and ministries of the church. If you're a college student, graduate or undergraduate, you're invited to the college-age lunch following this service up on the third floor in room 322. It's called the Fireside Lounge. The college students gather each week to have faith discussions and fellowship. If you look at the gray cards in the pew racks directly in front of you, one side is for prayer concerns, or joys, or anxieties. You can complete those. The other side is for questions or comments for staff or lay leadership. Just put those on the offering plate when it comes around in just a few minutes. We celebrate with Karen Hicks Lawrence on the birth of her daughter, Ruby Caroline Lawrence, who was born September 10th. She's welcomed by Christian and Karen, as well as her sisters, Victoria and Mia. Our condolences are expressed to the family of Gil Fuqua Sr., who died this past week, September 16th. Services were held yesterday here in the sanctuary, and he survived by West End member, his wife, Marie Fuqua. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and our silent prayers. May the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God, like the Israelites in the wilderness, we too have known your love and experienced your care and your grace. You call us to extend your love to the world around us, to care for others as deeply as we care for ourselves. And so we bring the needs of our world before you now. We pray for those who do not have what they need to just survive the day, for those without enough food to eat or shelter to keep warm, those without employment or enough money to pay their bills, for those without access to medical care or medicine just to keep healthy. And we pray for those who have more than enough to meet their needs, but who continue to feel empty inside, who struggle to find meaning and purpose in life, and those who turn to alcohol, drugs, or other destructive behaviors to try to hide their pain. And we pray for those who are struggling physically, who are battling life-threatening disease or injury, or living in chronic pain, who are coping with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, or other chronic diseases. Loving God of the first and the last and all those in between, your grace reaches out to all of us throughout our lives. You call us to live as member of your households, together as the body of Christ, as we join our voices to pray the words Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our God is a God of abundance who fills us with good things, satisfies our thirst, and meets our every need. We ask God to accept what we have to offer in return.
his works displays the firm of his hands, displays the firm of man. Oh,
now may you have the same attitude of God, the Creator, God who came to be with us as a human, and God, the Sustainer, who allows us to say to ourselves, me too.